Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, right here on American Family Radio. And we're on the internet at AFR.net. We have 184 radio stations across the country, and a lot of people listen on our app. We have an app that thousands of people listen to us around the world, right, Walker?
That's right. So if you have the app on your smartphone, you can listen wherever you are. Also, if you just want to visit AFR.net on your computer, you can listen there also.
Okay. I'm Tim with Walker and with Ed. You can watch the show if you'd like to on our Today's Issues Facebook feed, a live feed. And Steve Jordahl's waving at everybody watching.
I do.
Watching today.
I watch every the first hour every day. I watch to make sure I know what's been talked about, so that
and to check out the latest fashion trends.
I do, because the hat is back.
That's what Ed and I know for our fashion.
Fashion, yeah. I've been driving sweater sales up.
You put the fascist in fashion.
I didn't know what that means. SPLC will be using that against Ed. Ed, the fascist.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
The fascist in fashion, but it doesn't make sense, so don't worry about it.
Or something like that. Hey, Steve, before you jump into the news you have here, I have never in my life heard of the term bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
Bomb cyclone is what's being used to describe the weather that's hitting the East Coast right now.
Right. Apparently, when the pressure drops, the atmospheric pressure drops 24 millibars in 24 hours and creates this kind of a storm, they call it a bomb. And apparently, from what I've been reading, 48 millibars, it's double that. So it's a double bomb, I guess. It's a, but it's a serious thing. In fact, I was reading this morning, a couple died, a family was at a New Year's Eve, was at a home, a vacation home, and the heat went out and they froze to death.
Where?
And you know what? I didn't bring it in.
Are you talking about the Fox story? Arizona family found dead in cabin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading this. And
Arizona?
Actually, well, what I'm reading,
well, I don't know where their cabin
is. Happened is apparently the carbon monoxide, the gas.
Oh, was that it?
A gas leak.
Oh.
During the night, and there was no detectors.
Okay.
Because it's a cabin out in the woods, and it killed all four.
Man.
Where did that happen?
In Arizona.
Okay. Well, probably wasn't due to cold.
Oh, it gets up in the mountains of Arizona, Flagstaff and all that. It gets very cold.
But I think this specific incident was gas.
Oh, so it might not have been up where it was cold at all.
No, it may have been cold, but apparently there was a gas leak.
Okay.
Which is you need to check.
It's deadly.
You need to make sure your batteries work on your carbon
monoxide.
Carbon detector.
And by the way, I just learned, I'm sure you guys already know this because I felt like an idiot when I read this. They said you don't test most people test their smoke detector by pressing that little button. I read this, it said all that does is test whether your battery has life. You have to test it with a match or lighter.
Hmm. See if it goes off. Oh, your smoke detector?
Or cigar.
Or, well, whatever, yeah. But they said that's not testing whether your smoke detector can test.
Okay, I got you.
Detect smoke.
Yeah.
It simply tells you your battery.
How do you test for carbon monoxide, though?
No, I don't know about that.
You know what I'm saying?
Smoke detector.
Yeah.
I got to think, and I don't know, don't take this as gospel, but I got to think that 9 times out of 10 when a smoke detector fails, it's because the battery is dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that the internal...
So just throw out that safety tip I just gave.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. Err on the side of what?
Eternal destiny.
Well, back to my point. I've never heard bomb cyclone.
No, that's
and I have heard that what causes these to happen is when the moon hits your eye with like a big pizza pie.
Is that what it is?
That's what causes it.
A bomb cyclone.
Yes.
A bomb cyclone. Amari.
No, I see.
That's a bomb cyclone.
See, I have no idea what that meant. I'm sorry, folks.
We're fixing to have millions of people in harm's way, and you guys are joking about it. So, just just want to make sure that I'm not
talk about that's a guilt bomb right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, it's a guilt bomb. It is a very serious situation that's going to affect the eastern seaboard of the U.S. of A., even starting this morning down in Florida.
Freezing and snow down in Florida, yeah.
Revelation chapter 11. Steve, look it up.
All right. We'll be reading that during the break.
Okay. What do you got, Steve? What's first on your agenda?
Well, breaking news out of Denmark, and I got to tell you, this is very troubling for Danish.
Breaking news out of Denmark. Yeah. First time I've ever heard that, too.
Well, somebody broke into a bar in Denmark and stole a bottle of vodka that's worth $1.3 million.
How is that possible?
Well, it starts with the bottle itself, which is made of 6 pounds of gold and about 6 pounds of silver and is encrusted with diamonds. But the vodka itself is maybe pretty good. I wouldn't know.
I've been missing that. Something just like
I'm wondering
that.
Where you put that.
I don't know how it ended up in Denmark.
In a bar, Tim.
Allison, my wife's been on me about it. Where did you put that?
Well, I took a look at the post. It was in Danish. So with the help of Google Translate, of course, I speak every language in the world. And this is what the Danish people are saying. Help has for the first time needed help. Someone has been in key tonight and steal my Vodka Russo boutique. Mm. Vodka.
Isn't that the opening line of a Beatles song?
I think it might be. Which is the world's most expensive. By the way.
Somebody help. You know what I'm talking
about?
Okay,
help. Ahead.
Yeah.
I need somebody.
Well, I'm just saying, I didn't know that the Danish company, Denmark was like challenged with personal hygiene. But it does say shower is provided to those who can help find them.
Yeah. Well, that's just a bonus. I mean, they're going to probably give them cash too, I would think.
Maybe.
But seriously, valued worth
$1.3 billion.
Wow,
that's not even the vodka.
Well, and
now let me tell you something. If you have a bottle that's gold and diamonds and silver, you could have motor oil in it, and it's going to be worth $1.3 million.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's got little to do with the vodka. Okay. It's everything to do with the bottle itself.
On the other hand, if I pay $1.3 million for a bottle of vodka, that stuff better taste good. That's all I got to say.
One time had a bottle in front of me, and the doctor wanted to give me a frontal lobotomy.
Is that right? Yeah, is that what happened to you?
Kind of a failure to communicate there.
How much that run you?
Yeah.
I bet it wasn't $1.3 million.
Happily, it was reversible.
Covered by insurance? So. What's next, Steve?
You may have heard that Utah Senator Orrin Hatch has decided to call it a career. He is going to be retiring.
He's how old?
He's in his 80s, I think. Yeah. So the talk now, of course, goes to who's going to replace him, and the leading guessers, the money's going to Mitt Romney.
I thought he was from Massachusetts.
Well, oddly enough, and this is true. He was tweeting here several days ago, and he mentioned it was Massachusetts, and now his tweets have Utah as the.
But he was governor of Massachusetts, right?
Yes.
Did he move to Utah,
or
did
he?
He's from. Is he? Is he?
He's
from?
Rich enough to have homes in both places.
I don't know.
That's all I
got
to say.
Hillary Clinton did it.
I know, and I had a problem with that too.
Yeah.
I know we're a national. I know in many respects because people have homes in different states and people travel around. We're not as native to our own states as we used to be. That makes sense. But still, the idea of some guy who lives in Massachusetts running for senator.
Because there's an open seat. That's what
didn't Rockefeller do that in West Virginia, too?
Which Rockefeller? You know about Nelson?
The guy from New York ran for Senate.
That was West Virginia, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did you call that carpetbagging? What do you call that?
He used to back in the
1800s. Well, Hillary Clinton was the biggest fraud.
Right.
When it came to this, here's a woman who grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Married a fellow from Arkansas. So she became the first lady of Arkansas, you know, when Clinton was governor there for those years. Then she's the first lady when President Clinton was elected. So she's a Chicago, Arkansas, D.C., and then she looks around and goes, I think I'll run for Senate in New York. Mm-hmm. She never lived in New York.
And before. Then claimed to have always been a Yankees fan.
Yeah.
Well, growing up in Chicago.
In Chicago.
And she, I think she claimed to be a Cubs fan when she was yes. there. So,
well, now, one of these articles I'm reading says that Romney moved to Utah after losing the 2012 presidential contest.
Okay. Well, then that's better. But he moved to Utah, and he may have. But his roots are in Michigan. His family
his
roots.
His dad was governor of Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's not for me to judge, Steve.
No, I suppose it if you have political aspirations, his 2006 presidential campaign? Was it
Romney?
2012.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not go so well. But this man, and this is why this is an interesting discussion, this man, though Republican, has very little love for President Trump. Mm-hmm. I want to let you listen to a little bit of what he had to say about the president back this, I believe, and I don't have my shot sheet with me, but I believe this. Oh, I do too. Thank you, Brent. This was in 2016. He was speaking at the Hinckley Institute of Politics at the University of Utah, and this is what he had to say in 2016 during the campaign about then-candidate Trump.
If we Republicans choose Donald Trump as our nominee, the prospects for a safe and prosperous future are greatly diminished. Let me explain why I say that. First, on the economy. If Donald Trump's plans were ever implemented, the country would sink into prolonged recession. His proposed 35% tariff-like penalties would instigate a trade war, and that would raise prices for consumers. His tax plan, in combination with his refusal to reform entitlements and to honestly address spending, would balloon the deficit and the national debt. Think of Donald Trump's personal qualities, the bullying, the greed, the showing off, the misogyny, the absurd third grade theatrics. Now imagine your children and your grandchildren acting the way he does. Would you welcome that?
So that's Mitt Romney. Now, that's from 2016?
Yes, he was campaigning against President Trump
During the primaries.
During the primaries.
Remember that.
Now, on the other hand, in terms of his own maybe possibly senatorial aspirations, talking about Mitt Romney.
Right.
Trump was reading up on this. He finished third in Utah. The people of Utah had a really difficult time with the moral questions regarding Trump. Also checking up, Mitt Romney turned around the Salt Lake City. Remember all the Olympic?
Yeah.
Kind of there's some scandals there. So he probably would have an easy time in Utah. And his anti-Trump kind of perspective.
I don't think he has that anymore because maybe he does. But I remember him meeting with President Trump after then-candidate Trump was elected. In Trump Tower, remember that meeting?
Oh, they had dinner or something.
Well, he was considering for an ambassadorship or a UN leader or something like that.
So. You don't go into those kind of meetings if you want that kind of a position with an animus toward
him. Listen, you know what? In politics and in life, people say things about other people and then they do a business deal or they decide it's in my best interest to support this person anyway. And they just, it doesn't mean they didn't mean what they said at the time. It just means their opinion has changed or circumstances has changed, or maybe they forgave them or maybe they saw it differently. So I don't necessarily, I thought some of the same things he did.
Right.
Some of the same things that Mitt Romney, you have him saying right there. And I'm no fan of Mitt Romney. He's establishment with a capital E.
Yeah,
but I had some of the same questions he did, especially on the character issue regarding the president. Now, I think the President Trump has proved himself, for the most part, to be a person of truthfulness.
Right.
And be a person of, I'm talking about since he's been in office, been a person that held up to his campaign promises that he made to conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, just to your point, I'm not trying to make light of it by using a football example, but Recently, the Patriots and the Steelers in the NFL hate each other. Fans hate each other. Well, the Patriots picked up James Harrison,
right,
the Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker.
Right.
The Steelers didn't want to pay him, give him another contract. He went to the Patriots. They hated each other, but James Harrison said, you know what? Yeah, I hated the Patriots, but they're offering me a job. So now guess what? I love the Patriots. So that's kind of the way life works.
Right, in politics is the same way. How many times? I remember when George W. Bush and Ronald Reagan hated each other.
Yeah.
I remember watching a documentary.
George Bush called Reagan's voodoo economics.
Yeah.
I mean, Reagan and Bush could not stand each other. They were from, you know, Bush, George H.W. Bush was the establishment's choice.
Right.
And Ronald Reagan was the insurgent. He was really the Trump of his time. He had different ways about him.
Right.
President Reagan did, but in the same way Trump rose up from nowhere.
Anti-establishment.
Well, Reagan, anti-establishment. Now,
both
Reagan was
former Democrats.
Yes. Now, Reagan was governor of
California.
So he had some political pedigree
as
he rose through the ranks. But the establishment of the Republican Party hated Ronald Reagan. And so, you know what they did?
They made him his vice president.
Yeah, they came together and acted nice. And we know what happened, their history there. So in politics, it doesn't surprise me if somebody says something like, this guy's, you know, the devil. And then the next week he's coming back, you know, he's a devil with a small D. So
if Romney wins the Utah Republican primary, then I'll almost guarantee you President Trump will be campaigning for Romney to keep that Republican seat.
If Romney decides that that's to his advantage, he's going to be. The question is, will he, if he is in the Senate, be more like a Murkowski than he is like someone who really supports the president? And with the Senate majority already down a seat because of the Doug Jones election, it's a very slim margin in there. They don't. The president does not need more people to question his agenda.
Now, I know there's a lot yet to be determined, but listening to Mitt Romney's dire economic predictions, he doesn't seem to be right on that.
No, nothing of the economic predictions came true.
Has
come true yet. The economy is going gangbusters right now. But I would have to say, leading into the next story, that his assertion about President Trump's character and the being a little
loose
juvenile
cannon
at times.
Yeah.
We see that he's having a Twitter war. Some people are calling it World War Tweet. With Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, of course, a while ago said he has a nuclear button on his desk at all times, trying to warn the United States. And President Trump tweeted back, "I have a much bigger button than Kim Jong-un." So we're now...
Don't do that.
That's not funny at all when you're talking about nuclear war.
Mm-hmm. No, President Trump should not do that.
You're not alone. You're not alone in those sentiments.
Don't do that.
You're stooping down to the how Kim Jong-un carries himself.
Right. And this is, as Ed said, this is a deadly serious matter. And I think the president would be well served just as... If I were him, I'd stop talking about it.
Yeah.
And he had
for
the most part, just let this dictator know that if he does anything to harm Americans or
allies,
our allies, like Japan, for example, that we will retaliate with unmerciful force. And
that's kind of what he's
after that. Don't say anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I would say just say don't say anything about him.
Mm-hmm. Put Nikki Haley out in front of that.
Let her handle it.
Yeah, I would not be tweeting on this matter. So
You
know, with President Trump, you get the good with the bad on the tweets. And I would say, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, I would agree with his tweets. Every once in a while, you hit one of these where you go, hey,
shouldn't
do that. So anyway, what's the next story?
California, the state has, as of January 1, is a sanctuary state. And
what does that mean?
It means that they are welcoming illegal immigrants. They are deciding that they're not going to cooperate with the government.
The whole state?
Yep, the whole state.
The whole state says we're not cooperating with the federal government.
Which is a little bit hard to do because municipalities control their own police, and there are several municipalities that are more conservative than the state gets a reputation
for. Let me ask you this. We've only got 4 minutes left on the program today.
I do have a file for Ed before we leave, too.
I'm trying to understand, not that I would ever agree with it, but I'm trying to understand the thinking of the other side who says we're not going to cooperate with the feds, with ICE, for example. They say that we don't want to inform the feds, the immigration folks, that we have illegals that we've arrested.
Correct.
For right. crimes.
Correct.
And we don't want to tell the federal government that they are here illegally.
Correct.
What is the reason for that? What's the motive for that?
They say that if they start deportations and start coming down on these people, that it would make the Hispanic community a little less likely to cooperate when it comes to other crimes. But frankly, the real reason is there's just a way for them to stick a finger in President Trump's eye.
Hmm.
So I wanted to... The federal government isn't going to really stand for it. Acting Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Thomas Homan was on Neil Cavuto last night. This is what he had to say about the whole thing.
What they've done is forced my officers to arrest dangerous criminals on their turf, in their homes, in their place of business, rather than arresting them in the safety and security of a county jail. It's ridiculous to knowingly and intentionally put law enforcement at risk. If he thinks he's protecting the immigrant community, he's doing quite the opposite, because if he thinks ICE is going away, we're not. There's no sanctuary from federal law enforcement. Matter of fact, we're in the process now. I'm going to significantly increase our enforcement presence in California. We're already doing it. We're going to detail additional enforcement assets to California. California better hold on tight. They're about to see a lot more special agents, a lot more deportation officers in the state of California. If the politicians in California don't want to protect their communities, then ICE will.
Wow.
There you go.
Who was that guy?
That's Thomas Homan.
He's the acting ICE director.
Acting ICE director, right.
Yeah, you know, these acting positions have become the most powerful and effective positions for President Trump, because it's hard to get a tough, good, conservative director or appointment through the Senate in time, because everything's taken so long. But President Trump, I believe, gets to pick the acting directors.
Right. They don't have to go through the Senate.
Yeah, so he'll lead these. He's been acting director, I believe, since President Trump was sworn into office.
Yeah.
But he's a very good director.
Yeah. I like his tough
director.
Talk.
Yeah.
He's very tough.
Let me end, if I could, with something from the Dumb and Dumber files.
Don't know much about history.
We have a University of California San Diego student who is suing her college. Why, you ask?
Yes, I do ask.
She was involved. Her name is Mariana Flores. She was a sophomore, is a sophomore, and she decided it would be a good idea to demonstrate against President Trump on the occasion of his election back in January. And she decided to do that protest with several other students on a busy San Diego freeway. She got hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
Now she is suing the school, saying they should have stopped and gotten her off the freeway sooner.
Oh, that's tragic. That is just a case of tragic stupidity.
Yeah.
Was she hurt?
Yes. Yeah. She had a crushed pelvis and broken bones. And yeah.
She's out in the middle of the street protesting. She gets
freeway.
Hit by a car.
Freeway. And what state was this?
California.
California.
UC
Those
San Diego.
Freeways are crazy.
I know.
Yeah. You know, you'd think you'd be able to stand out in the middle of a freeway and not be hit, but... you know.
Well, apparently the school should have known
that
she wasn't going to get it.
All right, Steve, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our thanks to you for listening to the program today. Today's issues. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.